Calling all small firm architects. It's time to tap into your full potential with Entree Architects Context and Clarity, where inspiration meets innovation. Hey, it's Mark R. LePage, founder of Entree Architect, and I'm inviting you to join my two favorite co-hosts, Jeff Eccles and Katie Kangas, as they bring together authors, experts, and thought leaders for electric conversations with entrepreneur architects around the globe. It's not just a podcast. It's a community where dreams meet action.
There's a simple equation there. And what for me, what that did, just doing that basic calculation, was it allowed me to compare what I had actually saved in my retirement accounts to what I thought a possible projected annual spend might be.
Artists are temperamental, so beautiful design is going to be a priority. When the job is done, we're going to actually need to live in the house, not live with the person who designed it. And so for me, the artistic skill, the architectural skill is most important. And so I would say like that would be 60% of it, if not more.
Gain insights to build a successful practice. Subscribe, engage, and let's redefine your future together. Join the Context and Clarity community, where every conversation adds to your blueprint for success.
We know that running a small firm is tough, and ending the year with a profit may be even tougher. That's why we created Profit for Small Firm Architects. It's a 3-module digital course, and it's available to you for free right now by visiting entrearchitect.com/freecourse. This is Entree Architect Podcast, episode 110. Welcome back to the Entree Architect Podcast. My name is Mark R. LePage, and this is the podcast dedicated to a successful life as a small firm architect. Whether you have plans to someday start your own firm, whether you're in the process of launching a startup, or you might be an experienced small firm architect just trying to make a difference, this podcast is for you. My goal is to inspire you to build a better business so that you may pursue your purpose with passion and live the life of your dreams. We are always selling. It doesn't matter who you are or what you do or where you're from. Every day, all day, we're selling. I shared last week here at the podcast the 5 steps to successful sales at entrearchitect.com/episode 109. And all month long here at Entree Architect, we are focusing our efforts on the theme of sales and business development. And every day, all day, we're trying to convince others to do the things that we want them to do. And part of successful sales is negotiation. When somebody wants one thing and we want something else, how do we successfully convince them to go our way? How do we find a solution that works for everybody? You know, negotiation doesn't always come easy to us small firm architects. We're lovers, not fighters. We just want to create our beautiful art and live a happy, stress-free life, right? Well, the truth is, we don't really need to fight. Like much in business, there are rules to negotiation. Learn the rules, and you'll be more successful. Well, this week at Entree Architect Podcast, I will share how to negotiate as a small firm architect. This episode of the Entree Architect Podcast is sponsored by FreshBooks, the easiest way to send invoices, manage expenses, and track your time. Learn more at freshbooks.com/architect. So this negotiation thing, this is not something that comes naturally to most of us small firm architects, but negotiation is part of our culture. You know, it's part of everything we do, everywhere we go, everybody we talk to. It's not always contentious, but very often it's, you know, you want one thing, somebody wants something else. So negotiation is part of our society, and understanding that will make it easier. And you'll become better at it by understanding that it is part of everyday life. We do it all the time, all day long. We do it with our families, with our kids and our spouse, right? I mean, very often we want one thing and our kids want something else. No doubt about that. Very often our spouses want one thing and we want something else. Our partners in business, you know, very often they want something, we want something else. Our design team, you know, the people that we work with on every project. Our staffs, you know, our staff, you know, the on projects, maybe during salary time, we want one thing, they want something else. Maybe it's your boss, you know, maybe you're listening and you're not an owner of a firm and it's your boss. And even if you are an owner of a firm, you know, maybe it's your boss, whoever that boss may be. Contractors every day, right? Every day we're working on a project and a contractor wants to do one thing and we want to do something else. And certainly with our clients, want to pay one thing and they want to, you know, we want to pay something, they want them to pay something else. And, even more so with our designs all throughout the project, we want one thing and they very much want something else. So, negotiation is part of everything we do, everywhere we go. We even negotiate with ourselves, you know, constantly. I'm in my head. Should I eat this? Should I wear this? Should I pay this? Should I charge this? Should I charge that? Constantly in my mind, it's a negotiation. So recognizing that negotiation is part of living, it's part of life, it's part of being a human being, is the first step towards getting better at it. Learn the steps, follow the rules, and we'll get good at it. You know, we even want to teach the people around us how to be good at it. So once we get good at it, we should be teaching our kids how to be better at it, our spouse how to get better at it, our clients how to get better at it, our staff how they get better at negotiation. Because if you know how to negotiate well, life is better. You know, we can find a way to find what works for everyone. So it's good to negotiate. It's good to get good at negotiating, and it's good to teach others how to negotiate. So today I'm going to share what I know about negotiation. I have 5 rules for negotiation for small firm architects, and I want to share them here with you. The first rule that I've learned over the years is to stop and listen. So the first rule is listen. You know, you don't want to show your hand right off the bat. You want to listen first. You want to gather as much information as you can and understand what the other side wants. What are their goals? What do they have to lose? What do they want to win? How much do they understand about what you're negotiating about? What is the knowledge they have compared to how much knowledge you have about the item or the topic or the service that you're negotiating about? How much do they want to spend? You know, if you're negotiating about money, the best thing to do is to learn how much they are willing to pay. Best negotiators start by listening and gathering all the critical information that you need in order to proceed with the negotiation. You know, often with clients and contractors or staff or bosses, they won't tell you what you need to know. But in order to successfully negotiate, you need to know what they know. And so you can often tell them that you can't give them what they want without you knowing what they require. So they need to sort of give you the information that you need in order to start this conversation. So it's very important to listen. And you may know exactly what you want the outcome to be. You sit down at the table or in the meeting and you know exactly how you want this to end. But it is critical. It is crucial that you don't share that right up front. You want to ask questions and stay quiet and listen. Listen and learn everything you can before you start. So the first step, the first rule of negotiation is to listen. The second rule, after you've listened and you've gathered all this information, understand that there's a process. So number 2 is follow a process. You don't want to just wing it. You don't want to just get in there and have a conversation and just try to, you know, convince your side, convince the person that you're speaking with that you're right. You don't want to just have an argument. You don't want to just have a conversation. There's a process to negotiation, and successful negotiation follows that process. So there's essentially three steps. If you break it down into its simplest forms, it's the most basic elements of a negotiation, it's three steps. The first step is to gather opening positions, to understand what the other person wants and understand what you want. What are your opening positions? That's the first step. The second step is to ask for more information. So to gather information, to ask the questions that you need to ask in order to get more of the information that you need to continue that conversation. And then the third step is to reach a compromise, is to find a solution that works for everybody. And it's just that simple. That is the process of negotiation. If you break it down into its basic elements, it's gather opposing, opening positions, not opposing, but all the positions. So know your position and know the other party's position. Ask for more information and then have that conversation and negotiate and reach a compromise. So step three is reach a compromise. But you need to understand that process before you even enter that negotiation. You want to understand that you need to follow these steps in order to get to where you want to go. You want to learn what the other wants. You want to gather information. You want to find a solution that works for both of you. And it may not be that quick. It may not be that simple, or it is that simple, but it may not be that quick. It may take time. But the process is simple. So the second rule of negotiation is to follow that process. So the first one is to listen, and the second one is to follow the process. Know there's a process, understand what that process is, and follow that process. The third rule in negotiation is that it's not us versus them. It's not an argument. It's not a fight. It's not a battle. It's not us versus them. That's the third rule. We're not trying to crush the opposition. We're trying to find the best solution for everybody, for you and for them. It's not a win-lose battle. It's what's best for us and them. Building trust and showing integrity is what this is about. You will win when people trust you. They will give more when they trust you. When you have integrity, people will trust you and they will give you more. So coming to the table with the mentality and the idea and the rule that it's not us versus them, it's we. We are finding a solution to go forward. Trust breeds trust. So you need to trust them and they will trust you. And if you don't trust them, they won't trust you. And so building that trust and showing the integrity. Negotiation is part of human interaction. And in business, as in life, we don't want to be followed by a path of destruction where every time we've negotiated, we crush the opposition and leave them lying in the streets to die behind us. That's not the life you want to live. That's not the way you want to proceed. So most often, we will need to continue to work with these people that we are negotiating. So you have to keep that in mind when you're negotiating. It's very rare that you sit down to a negotiation where when you're done, you're never going to see this person again. So if it is us versus them, and the idea of this negotiation is to crush your opponent and leave them dying in the street, you know, that's not going to work out so well if you're negotiating with your spouse or your kids, or your team members, or your clients, or your friends, or your contractors. You're going to have to work with these people. And so it's not us versus them. It's a win-win that we're looking for. It's a we mentality. It is a team mentality. We're trying to find a solution that works best, not only for them, but for us. And of course, you want to get as much as you can for you. You want to understand what your positions are and what you are willing to give and what you are not willing to give. You need to understand that up front. That's knowing the step one in understanding that there's a process, gathering opening positions, know your position. So you need to know what you're willing to give and what you're not willing to give. But this is not a battle. This is not kill everybody in this negotiation and leave the victor. you're looking for a solution that works for everybody. Everybody wants to feel as they've been heard and that they've been understood and that you have found the best solution for what you're negotiating about. And so the rule number three in how to negotiate is to understand this. Rule number three is it's not us versus them. It's not us versus them. Okay, so number one is listen. Number two is follow a process. And number three is it's not us versus them. Number four, the fourth rule in how to negotiate is to listen more. Listen more. Often during a heated debate the exchanges may get contentious. You know, people might get steamed up. People might start yelling. People might get angry. And at that time, if it's getting to that point where you can't find the solution and without arguing and without being angry, it's time to stop. It's time to stop and listen again. Understand the real issues here. Understand what's really being negotiated. Because often, when people get into a negotiation, they'll lock in just because they want to win, just because they don't want to give in. How often, for those of you with kids, how often have you spoken to your teenaged son or daughter and they have just locked in with this is what they want, or you have locked in with this is the way it's going to be? And truthfully, it doesn't need to be that. And your child also knows that they don't need to do that, but they've already done that. They're already committed to locking in. So you need to stop and listen more. You need to ask more questions. You need to learn more about the real issues behind the negotiation and understand whether you're dealing with an impasse or a deadlock. An impasse is when more can be done in this, when it's getting heated and people are getting upset in this negotiation, but there's clearly a solution. We just need to get there. That's what an impasse is. There's more that can be done, but we haven't gotten there yet. And a solution can be found, but the conversation has stalled. Okay, you've gotten to the point where you can't have that conversation anymore, but there is certainly a solution. Or it's degraded to the point where the real conversation can't be had. That's when you need to stop and listen more. Ask each party, you know, when you get to that point, you need to stop and listen more and ask, have a conversation, cool down, maybe even take a break, come back another day or another time, and sit down and ask more questions. Listen more and ask what is each party willing to give? You need to know how much you're willing to give, and they need to know how much they're willing to give. That's how you get past an impasse, when there's a solution to be had, but the conversation can't be continued. It's an impasse. A deadlock is when it's over. You've completely failed to reach a compromise, and there's no more that can be done, and it's a deadlock. You know, you have hit your limit on what you're willing to give. They have hit their limit on what they were willing to give. And in this situation, there's only two options. You either need to walk away and there will be no negotiation, there'll be no solution, or you need to find a third party to help you mediate that negotiation. Somebody who can kind of come in with a different perspective and help you get past the deadlock. So, rule number four in negotiation as a small firm architect is to listen more. When you get to the point where things aren't going the way you want them to go, or that you found your position where it's not proceeding, you're not gaining ground on where you want to be, it's time to listen more. Let's take a quick break here to say thank you to FreshBooks for their support as a platform sponsor of Entree Architect, because as a platform sponsor, FreshBooks has provided funding and support for our overall mission here at Entree Architect. They recognize the need for small firms like us to build better businesses in order to be better architects. FreshBooks is the easy-to-use accounting software designed to help us small firm owners get organized, save time, and get paid faster. It takes care of invoicing, expense tracking, estimating, reporting, and it all happens out on the cloud, so you have access to your information from anywhere that you have access to the internet. And I use FreshBooks for my own small firm, Five Cat Studio, and my favorite feature of the FreshBooks software is sending my invoices by email and allowing my clients to pay by credit card. When FreshBooks says that you'll get paid faster, they're not kidding. With the convenience of clicking a button and paying by credit card, many of my clients pay now as soon as they receive their invoice. And for those clients who don't pay right away, FreshBooks automatically sends them a reminder of the balance due at an interval that I set. So once I send an invoice, I can go back to being an architect, and I don't need to chase down any of my clients. And Tim Lee of FreshBooks will show you how easy it is to send invoices by email on our exclusive video series Tim and I produced exclusively for the Entree Architect community. Check out this free video series at entrearchitect.com/FreshBooksVideo. There's no catch. There's no email. It's completely free. Just go to entrearchitect.com/FreshBooksVideo and you will get the videos right away. There's three of them. Shows you everything you need to know about getting started. And then go to FreshBooks.com/Architect, FreshBooks.com/Architect, and sign up for your free 30-day trial and give it a try. It's free. I suggest you just send one invoice and see what happens. That's how I got started. Just send one invoice to one client and see how it works. And when I did that and I got paid much faster than usual, I signed up for the rest of it and I set up my whole account in FreshBooks. FreshBooks.com/architect for your free 30-day trial. And be sure to enter Entree Architect in the How Did You Hear About Us section. So we're working here on our five rules of negotiation for small firm architects. And we've been through the first three. The first one is listen. And we need to understand and gather information in that first phase, kind of understand where the other party is, get as much information as you can before you show your hand. Don't show your hand up front and understand what the other position is before proceeding with the negotiation. The second rule is to follow the process. Understand there's a process. Gather the opening positions, ask for more information, and then reach the compromise. That's the steps. So number two is to follow the process. And number three is it's not us versus them. This is not a battle. This is not something that you're going to walk off the field in triumph and leave the opposing team crushed. We're looking for a win-win here. We're looking for a solution that works best for everybody. They get what they need and we get what we need. That's how it should work in a successful negotiation. And number four, we've talked about just before the break here, listen more. Once you get to a certain point where you need to gather information, sometimes that you need to stop and you need to listen more. You need to get past the barriers that have developed, because sometimes in a really tough negotiation, a really strict negotiation, sometimes other personalities and other layers of stuff gets piled on top of the real decisions, the real issues that you're negotiating. And so sometimes you need to step back, you need to stop, take a break, and then come back and listen more. So those are the first four rules. The fifth rule, and this is sort of a tip. The fifth rule in negotiation, how to negotiate, and this is more about money than about sort of negotiating a service or something with your kids or your spouse. This is about money. So when you're negotiating about money, you don't want to use round numbers. You want to use exact numbers. Don't use numbers with zeros. Don't round up or round down. You want to offer an exact number or a number that looks like you took the time to calculate it as an exact number. It works better in negotiation. If you're negotiating and you ask for $4,965, that's going to work better than negotiating for $5,000, because $5,000 is a round number. It looks like you've just shot it in the dark and you don't really know. But when you're working with specific numbers or numbers that look specific, 4,965, it looks like you've done the math. It looks like you know what you're talking about. It looks like you know what your service should cost and you're proposing that specific number. It makes you look more prepared and more qualified than to use the round number of $5,000. It shows that you know what you're doing and you know what it costs to do what you do. So number five, the fifth rule of negotiation as a small firm architect is don't use round numbers when you're negotiating. Use real numbers. Use real numbers. Number six, and the final rule, these are six rules. The final rule, and this is probably the most important one, and you've heard me talk about this before, about talking about in other subjects. Number six, the sixth rule, is be willing to walk away. That is the most important rule in any negotiation, is be willing to walk away. Know what your limit is. Know when you hit that limit and be willing to walk away. You've often heard me say, you make more money on the projects from which you walk away. You've heard me say that. If you're a longtime follower of Entree Architect, you've seen it in the blog. You've heard it here on the podcast. It's a rule I live by as an architect. You make more money sometimes on the projects from which you walk away. There are problem clients. There are problem projects. Sometimes with prospects, the fact that someone wants to negotiate, that itself might be a red flag. It might be a sign that for many, you know, there might be many, many, many more negotiations ahead in that project. If somebody sits down and says, okay, I don't want to pay that, you know, let's negotiate. That might be a red flag that they're going to negotiate about everything. And that becomes a problem. That becomes, as an architect, everything becomes negotiable. The price becomes negotiable. Your service becomes negotiable. Your scope of work becomes negotiable. Construction administration becomes negotiable. All these things become negotiable. Because for some, and I've experienced this so many times here in Westchester County, in New York, for some, negotiation is a sport. It's a sport that they've become accustomed to playing. Maybe with people who work with money all the time, and negotiation is part of their everyday existence in the profession that they have, it becomes a sport and they love doing it and they become very, very, very skilled at it and they want to play that game and they want to win. That's the mentality that they are going to crush you, and their goal by winning is to win. And sometimes that negotiation right up front when somebody wants to negotiate may be, and it's not always, but may be a red flag. And so this is not a recipe for a successful architecture project when you're dealing with somebody like this. Our best projects at Five Cat Studio, our small firm, our best projects are always the projects where our clients are willing to trust us. Our clients have recognized that we've demonstrated our skills and our talents, and we've earned their trust. And they're willing to pay us what we charge in order for them to acquire the talents that we have to share. That's the people that you want to work with. Early in our careers, you may make many mistakes in selecting your clients. This is a rule. This is a tip. And this isn't about negotiation. This is about being a small firm architect. Very often, early on, and many of you are there right now listening to this, you learn many mistakes throughout your early career about clients and selecting those clients. You may have picked somebody as a client and you know they're not the right ones. And you felt those red flags and you pushed through them. You felt those feelings about the client, about the project, and you said, well, I want the project. It doesn't matter. I'm going to go forward. Learn the lesson about picking your clients, selecting the best clients that you can. You'll make more money. You'll be a better architect. You'll have better projects. And you want to keep a list. You want to keep a list. You want to track your successes and your failures. Every time you finish a project, was this a good client or was this a bad client? Was this somebody that I would love to work with again, or is this somebody I want to avoid? Learn what makes a good client and be willing to walk away when the red flags fly. That's the final rule. Number six is be willing to walk away. Track the good clients, track the bad clients, understand what makes a good client and what makes a bad client. That will give you the confidence to walk away. That confidence will always give you the advantage in any negotiation. That is why it's the most important thing to know when you can walk away and that you're willing to walk away. Because that confidence will always give you the advantage in any negotiation, no matter who you're negotiating with. If they know that you are willing to walk away, you have the upper hand. When the other side recognizes that you are willing to walk away, no matter how good that project may be, you have the upper hand. And they will want you more than you want them. There will always be another once-in-a-lifetime project. I've been there. I've done that. I look at this project. I get this once-in-a-lifetime, quote-unquote, project. It'll never come again. This is the best project. This is going to take my firm to the next level. And I go blind, and all I see is that project. As entrepreneur architects, you are building successful businesses. You are learning the skills that you need to attract the clients that you want. If you want more of those once-in-a-lifetime projects, be willing to walk away from one of those once-in-a-lifetime projects when the red flags fly. When you know that this is a client that I don't want to work with, that this is a project that is not going to work, that this is a situation which I do not want to be in for the next year and a half, 2 years of my life, be willing to walk away. Your willingness to walk away from the projects that don't fit your target market or don't fit the description of your best clients will lead you to better projects and better clients. So the final rule in negotiation, and the most important, is to be willing to walk away. So that's it. Those are my 6 rules for negotiation as a small firm architect. As anybody, the first rule is to listen. The second rule is to follow the process, gather information, gather the positions, ask for more information, and reach a compromise. That's the second rule, is to follow that process. It's not us versus them. We're looking for a win-win. We're looking for the solution that works best for everybody. Number 4 is to listen more. Sometimes you need to stop. You need to take your breath. You need to let the other party cool down and get past that lock-in. So sometimes you need to stop and listen more. Don't use round numbers. That's just a tip. It works best when you're working with real numbers or numbers that look like real numbers. And be willing to walk away is by far the most important rule of any negotiation. When the person you're negotiating with knows and recognizes that this is something that you're willing to walk away, that it's not so important that you will do anything for it, if you show that card, you will lose every negotiation. So you need to be willing to walk away, or at least appear to be willing to walk away. So the final rule is to be willing to walk away. And remember, when those red flags fly, recognize those red flags. Recognize that there will be another once-in-a-lifetime project. Don't be afraid to walk away. It will give you so much confidence in every negotiation from that point forward when you are willing to walk away.
Complete show notes and a direct link to download this episode will be found at entrearchitect.com/episode10. And I want to know what your favorite, your best rules, your tips, your techniques, share what you know about negotiation at the show notes at entrearchitect.com/episode110. Share what you know. And don't forget to pick up your access to our free 3-module digital course, Profit for Small Firm Architects. Just head over to entrearchitect.com/free course. Pick it up right now. My name is Mark Arlepage, and I am an entrepreneur architect. And I encourage you to share what you know. I thank you so much for listening, and I'll see you next week.
From historic homes to modern architecture, brick is one of the most popular building materials around the world.
How to allow the house to bridge the gap between the history of the site, the approachability of this kind of architecture in this kind of neighborhood, and the sort of nostalgia of materiality for the client's past, right? And brick really started to provide an answer for that.
Hi, I'm Doug Pat, and this is Design Vault. There aren't many materials that easily blend with any style and context, but brick does just that. I've seen some extraordinary work with brick, so when Glengarry approached me about hosting this podcast, I couldn't say no.
Typically, Tudor-style houses from outside are just stunningly gorgeous piece of structure. And when you go in, it's just sad.
Yeah.
Dark. And that is not going to happen with my approach to design.
I speak with industry leaders and share inspiring stories behind their work and ingenious design.
You'll see brick that's fashioned into basket weave patterns, sawtooth patterns. What's known in England as diapering.
Doesn't sound like you knew them per se, right? They found you through relationships that you had with other.
Well, wait, Doug, there's more.
Okay.
We'll go behind the scenes to understand process and even the inspiration that sparked the design.
You know, I think we were inspired by all the factory buildings in Dumbo. I mean, that is the kind of period of significance, that early American factory building.
Design Vault by Glengarry. Visit glengarry.com/design-vault or search for Design Vault wherever you get your podcasts and subscribe now to stretch your imagination.
Attention architects and creative minds, get ready to supercharge your brand with Build Your Brand, the podcast that's unlocking the secrets of branding success for creatives. Hey there, it's Mark Arlepage, founder of Entree Architect, and I'm inviting you to join my friend, architect marketing expert, Jeff Eccles at Build Your Brand podcast, where he explores the captivating stories of the world's top brands and transforms their lessons into powerful moves for small firm architects and creatives like you. In season one, Jeff shares the thrilling tale of Southwest Airlines, where he dissects their journey to the summit and distills it into strategies tailor-made for you.
It's important to keep in mind that companies like Southwest compete in the real world, just like you, and face real-world challenges, just like you. You might be surprised at how similar those challenges are to the struggles that you grapple with on a day-to-day basis.
Don't miss out on your blueprint for success. Subscribe, tune in, and let's build your brand together.
You may have noticed that the very best brands in the world are also known for having somewhat unique corporate cultures. That's often the glue that holds everything together when they encounter those rough spots.
We don't do it because it inconveniences the passengers to whom we are primarily dedicated, the short-haul frequent flyer.
Follow the link in the show notes to subscribe to Build Your Brand today. Remember, no matter the size, the journey's the same. Your brand's journey to the top starts here.